All right. Okay. We are going to finish up lesson 11 this morning, and then I'll have the lesson 12 for you to pick up as we're coming down to the last lesson in this series here. In this this lesson, we've been really focusing on foreign missions, and specifically looking at the ideas of what things we can do in terms of spreading the gospel and sharing the gospel in various parts of the world. Last week, we let you know that we have the elders have officially decided to be the overseeing eldership for the work that Colonel and Kelly are going to be doing in China. And they're preparing for that. And so as we're talking about foreign missions and us, that's something that we can be specifically targeting and focusing on. What can we do? That's the question that we've been asking different aspects of this particular study. What can I do in terms of helping to spread the gospel? Last time we were talking a lot about prayer and the importance of that. And one of the things we want to talk a little bit about, I think we talked a little bit about it last week. We began as we were finishing. We ran out of time. We're going to pick up where we're going to talk about encouragement this morning. What can I do? That is to encourage folks. So I want to call your attention over to Acts chapter 15 as we begin this morning. We look at a particular situation, and really, not just the situation, but the person. One of the significant people in this particular situation. And look at what that has to do with encouragement of those who are doing mission work. The statement under here, number three here, what can I do, encourage, is the fact that everyone needs encouragement. Okay, y'all agree with that statement? All of us need attaboys from time to time. It doesn't matter what we're doing. We need just somebody to say, hey, appreciate what you're doing, you're doing a good job, or whatever it is. We need that from time to time. Those are the kinds of things that motivate us, keep us going, give us a little bit more oomph, and pick us up when we're down, and all of those kinds of things. Encouragement helps to overcome discouragement, you see. And we certainly face a tremendous amount of discouragement in our lives. Satan is certainly willing to provide lots of opportunities for us to be discouraged in life, and especially discouraged from doing what God wants us to be doing. So therefore, just based on that, we need lots of encouragement, don't we? Okay. But when we're talking about those who are especially in working in foreign mission fields, there's an extra special need for a lot of encouragement there. In Acts chapter 15, we're looking at verse 36 here, in this section right here. Paul and Barnabas decide they want to go back. This is after the missionary journey. They're going to go back and encourage all the different churches. They're going to visit the different churches that they've established and so forth, and try to encourage the brethren there. But what happens as Paul and Barnabas are discussing this this idea of going back and providing encouragement? What happens between them? Anybody? Do what? Yeah, the two of them enter into a sharp disagreement, right? So this missionary journey here, this effort to go and encourage the brethren, kind of gets stopped in its tracks right from the beginning, right? Okay? So they have this disagreement. What's the disagreement over? Okay. All right. The subject of John Mark comes up. Barnabas, whose name is what? Means what? Son of encouragement. Okay? Barnabas wants to take John Mark with him. Okay? But Paul says, not taking that whiny baby with us. He left us once. We're not taking him again. You know, I'm paraphrasing, right? Okay. All right. So, you know, there's this dispute that arises between them. So the whole intention right from the beginning to go and encourage the brethren in the churches they've already established, what's happening here really? I mean, we're reading the text. We're reading about what happened. What's the underlying thing that's really going on here? Okay. Okay.
Hurt feelings, nothing like that.
All right. Okay. But why are those things coming into this?
Spiritual warfare.
It's spiritual warfare. Satan certainly doesn't want the brethren to be encouraged. He doesn't want Paul and Barnabas to go back and to provide that encouragement. So Satan has got his hand in this, trying to stop this work, doesn't he? You see? They want to go and encourage, and right from the beginning, Satan says, "Ha, I know how I can stop this from happening. I'll just bring this dispute between, you know, the two key principal players here in this whole thing. Get Paul and Barnabas fighting with each other, and they won't do anything." Well, again, this is a great example to see how Satan doesn't really know everything that God knows, and God can always take what Satan does and turn it around for His glory. Because they have this dispute, and what ends up happening? They separate. I mean, this dispute apparently is so severe that, you know, look, Paul says, if you're taking him, I am not going with you. So what happens? Yeah, they split up, and Barnabas and John Mark go one way, and Paul grabs a hold of Silas, and they go another way. So instead of having one missionary team that's going back, we've got two missionary teams that are going, you see? And so the brethren are going to be encouraged, aren't they? See? So, you know, there's a couple of important things out of this story that, you know, we can take with us that, first of all, again, encouragement is necessary, right? But secondly, Satan does not want Christians to be encouraged. No matter where they are, he doesn't want them to be encouraged. And he's going to do everything he can to bring discouragement. Okay? But thirdly, we need to keep in mind and remember that God is the one who's, you know, he's more powerful than Satan, and he can provide what is necessary to overcome the work that Satan is trying to do. And that's an important aspect of this, so that we don't give up from being discouraged and just give up on what we should be doing. If Paul had not understood that, and Barnabas had not understood that, then the work perhaps would have just fallen apart right then. The other significant thing here, hold on just a second, right? The other significant thing here is, you know, keeping in mind what kind of a person was Barnabas, you see, and the significant part that he played in all of this, you see, by his very name, the son of encouragement, Barnabas was an encourager. And he apparently saw something in John Mark that Paul wasn't able to see. Okay? And so he set about that he's going to encourage John Mark. I imagine probably that John Mark was pretty discouraged at the fact that he, you know, apparently got homesick or whatever and left them on the first missionary journey. He probably felt pretty bad about it. Okay? And Barnabas took him and encouraged him, gave him what he needed. And, you know, we look at John Mark later on and we see, you know, some of the things that he was able to do. And so he needed that encouragement at that moment, you see. And that could have been the thing that made all the difference in the world for him. All right? Ray?
Good significance. Paul understood what happened
absolutely. And what we're doing is trying to make sure that whatever our work is, we're bringing glory to God for it. And it's not about us, it's about us. So let's talk about the question here, the statement that it has here. We've got not only the work that we're talking about in terms of ourselves and the work we can do around here, which we're going to talk, by the way, a lot more specifically in our next lesson. Lesson 12 in this series here is going to be a whole lot more about, you know, local stuff and, you know, the practical application of all that. But we're looking at that aspect of it, but then also we've got this missionary team here that's fixing to go to China, back to China, and do their work. So let's talk about, and let's talk some ideas here, what can we do to provide encouragement to them specifically and then to others who are trying to spread the gospel? What kinds of things can we do to make that happen? Anybody got any ideas? Okay. Which means we have to do what, Jerry? In order, if we're going to let them know, what do we have to do? We got to communicate with them on a regular basis, don't we? Okay. So therefore, what we, the elders, have set up in place, or in the process of setting up in place, we have a person that is going to be designated as, in a sense, kind of a go-between between Colonel and Kelly over in China and us here. And what the word that we were using has escaped my mind. What are we calling you? A liaison, that's right. The word jumped out of my head here. We have a liaison. With the liaison in the room, please raise your hand. There he is. Steve has volunteered to be our liaison. He's really good with computer stuff and all that, and so they can contact one another and keep in touch on the Internet. But primarily what he's going to be doing is keeping in regular contact with them, and then keeping in regular contact with the elders and the rest of the church as to what's going on with them, so that we're always kind of up to date on to what's happening, and if there's a need arise that we don't find out about it 3 or 4 weeks down the road, we find out about it, you know, as it happens and so forth. And also going to be providing the different means by which anybody can communicate with them. There are some specifics of things you can say and can't say in emails and things of that nature. We want to make sure that we don't get them in trouble while they're over there. And so they're working with Steve to make sure that, you know, we've got all that information and what you need, so that, you know, you can go to Steve and say, hey, you know, I need the email address, or, you know, how do I get in touch with them, and give me the list of the stuff I can and can't say. And they'll provide that for you so that you can email them and you can contact them, and I don't know, whatever, Facebook, or can y'all do that, you know, whatever, you know, face stuff y'all want to do. But you know, that's what we're putting together, so that we can provide that encouragement for them that they need. Okay? And so communication is a big, big part of it, and that's something that we're going to really try to do. One of the things that we were discussing the other day, Colonel and Kelly and Steve and I were discussing the other day the possibility of setting up a video link at some point with them, where, you know, meeting with the church there, you know, one particular time or something. They can know, we have to work out the time zone difference and everything, but if they're willing to get up and be up at, you know, whatever time in the morning it is for them, or the night, the middle of the night, or whatever, when we're having worship service, we can have them on the big screen up here and do a video thing with them, so we'll be able to talk with them a little bit and maybe say hey to the folks that are there that they're talking with and working with and so forth. So it's things like that that we can do, and we're going to try to make those kinds of things happen. To provide that encouragement to them. Doing things like the video conference thing can be something that will provide encouragement not only to them, but possibly to the folks that they're studying with and trying to reach. So those are some things. So that's just one example, okay, of things that we can do. What else can we do to encourage them? He said pray. Okay, we talked a lot about that last week. Okay, what else can we do? You mean actually use snail mail? Okay, absolutely. There's also a thing called care packages. Perhaps every once in a while, put something together and send that to them or what have you. What else?
Jeff? We talked about this a couple weeks ago, but I was thinking about a soldier. You know, when a soldier's on the front line, how many people does it take to support this?
Support that one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what they do is they take care of all of their needs so that they can fight the war.
Mm-hmm.
So by us sponsoring their needs, they don't need to worry about it. They need to worry about future wars.
Right.
They need to take care of their needs, care packages.
Absolutely. Well, and not only that, Chuck, it's a good point, but not only that, but also, you know, the soldiers, they're over there in the foreign country and they're fighting a war. What's happening with their family back home? And all the things that they, you know, otherwise would need to be taken care of and so forth, you know, you know, I know one thing, and I'm just going to tell on her, okay? I mean, I can't help but tell on her. You know, I know one of the aspects of this, when they were over there before, Nancy was just worried sick about it, you know? And so, you know, that's something that we perhaps need to pay a whole lot more attention to and try to take care of Nancy a little bit better just by way of encouraging her, you see? So that while she's over here, you know, worrying about, you know, the kids and the grandkids, that, you know, and then Kelly's over there worrying about her mom, and, you know, and then they're getting discouraged, and so on. A lot of that was going on last time. That was one of the discouraging things, wasn't it? Okay, well, we need to try to make sure that that doesn't happen, you see? So those are ways that we can encourage. But you're right, exactly right, Chuck, is taking care of the troops while they're on the field. That's, you know, take care of the things that otherwise they don't need to be worrying about. Okay? What else? Any other ideas? Okay. Let's talk about what do we need to learn? What can I do in terms of helping the missionaries? I can learn some things. Statement on here, it would no doubt increase our zeal for mission work and missionaries if we knew more about the particular mission areas we're supporting. If you go back over to Acts chapter 14 and... what we see here is that Paul and Barnabas, when they come back from their first missionary journey, what do? They give a report to the brethren in the church there, right? Here's what we did. Here's what God did through us and the doors that God opened to the Gentiles and so forth. They were sharing it so people were informed about what was going on. That's one reason why you guys go around and tell people what the work is. But that's only one aspect of it. That's kind of like, okay, we get the report from them. But what else can we do in terms of learning that will support their work?
Well, tying into the encouraging piece of it too, we got to take a personal interest.
Okay.
You know, it's one thing to, you know, listen to, you know, Colonel give a report and say, okay, you know, there's five or six heads there that have obeyed the gospel. You know, I can't even remember their names. Most of them I can't pronounce without working at it.
Okay.
It's a Chinese name. But yeah, well, I think it would do us well to have, you know, photographs of people, you know, that do decide to, you know, come to the Lord, be a member of the church. They have a hard time, as we've been told. You know, they can't just, you know, go somewhere and meet together and have a worship service without fear of, you know, physical interference from their own government. So what must that be like as a new Christian? You know, yeah, I've learned this. Now here I am, and I got to be careful who I even talk to about it.
Okay. All right. Nancy?
I don't know if it would help at that point, but maybe we could just spend a little hours just to continue to be in the conversation.
and I think also, you know, we're talking about learning. You know, it's part of it is a matter of learning more about the work. What are they doing? Well, they're going to be missionaries in China. Well, China's, I know, it's just a little place, right? You know. Yes. You know, to say, well, you know, somebody's, you know, a missionary in China, or we're supporting missionaries in China. Well, okay, but where? Do we know anything about the place? What kind of a place are they going to be at? You say, what part of China? Where's it going to be? Well, we're going to get a map and put a map up, so, you know, with a little pin in it, so people know there's the name of the place, you see? So we'll be able to make that visual visualization there and be able to say, okay, here's where it is. But also we have some information that they've already given us. We want to get more information about the city and the area that we'll be able to provide, so that, you know, people will know and you will know, okay, here's the name of the city and here's what they're doing specifically there, the teaching program that they're in. We need to know, you know, more about the specifics of what they're doing so that we can tell other people and, you know, what's going on. What are they doing over there? Well, they're doing mission work in China. Well, no, actually what they're doing is they're teaching Chinese students in college how to speak English. And they're using that opportunity as doors open to be able to share the gospel with those students, you see. And so the more we know about what's going on, then the more, you know, we can share in that work and encourage them. In other words, think about it this way. You know, you want to encourage them, as we said before, we're going to send them an email. And if all you know is that they're over in China somewhere doing mission work, you know, how much information are you going to be able to put in that email? How's the work in China doing? Versus, you know, how many students have you contacted this week? Have you been able to have any success? How are the Bible studies going? If you know what they're actually doing, you say you can ask specific questions and talk to them about those things and so forth. A whole lot different when you know specific information rather than just broad general, yeah, they're missionaries over in China. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're working on that. They're working on that. Say something in Chinese. What did you call me? Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's something that's, you know, they've got to learn. But I'll tell you, is it true? It's easier to learn Chinese than it is English. No, because you're trying to learn Chinese. People from foreign countries other than America will tell you English is one of the most difficult languages in the world to learn. And one of the main reasons for that is because we have a tremendous amount of rules in the English language, and along with all those rules, we have a tremendous amount of exceptions to those rules. And that makes it really, really difficult for foreigners to learn English. As many of you know, I've been trying to learn more Russian, and when I first started with Russian, it was like, you know, I mean, they even have their own alphabet that's so different, okay, you know, and it's like I got to learn a new alphabet, and I thought this is not going to be very easy to do. It's much easier, I think, to do than I thought it was going to be, but also as I'm talking with our brethren, you know, over in Ukraine, that speak English and are trying to learn English, they you can just sense the frustration that they feel. And as we're talking, and we make a statement to them, and they go, you know, they're trying to figure out how does that fit into what they know about English, and you know, so it, you know, yeah, the language is an important part of it. They got to learn that, but it's difficult. Tammy?
I just think it might be a good opportunity to choose our children to take part. And even though they can't write, that they can be part of the church.
Absolutely.
And it would also be kind of interesting to teach them a little bit about the culture.
Yeah, Absolutely. Well, not only that, it's a good point with the children. They got two children going with them. See? So that's another important aspect of, you know, the kids here, you know, keeping in touch with them and encouraging, you know, their children over there. You know, so oftentimes, you know, when people are thinking about missionaries in a foreign country, they focus on the adults working but don't realize what a lot of times, like they do, they've got children with them, and so that's another whole aspect of the situation that's going on.
Yeah. One of the things that has encouraged us is what we've been having from the elderly. And what we've wanted all along is to have a partnership with the family. You know, this is not telling eternal mission field. This is the mission effort of the H.M. Church of Christ. To know that everyone else is learning about China is encouraging because it helps us to feel like we're not out there by ourselves. This is an effort of everyone. We just happen to be two of you who actually went to the geographical location. This belongs to everybody. And so to see people wanting to know about it and learning about it is encouraging.
Anyone else? Any other thoughts? Just in terms of this aspect of learning. Don't get ahead of me. Just hold on. Hold on. What else? What else can we learn? Pay no attention to these strange people that just walked in the room. Yes. That's all right. Well, and that's right, and that's what I was talking about doing the video conferencing thing. That we can do that, you know, and again, we got to find out what the rules are, you know, in terms of all that, so we don't, you know, get them in trouble or anything like that. But then, you know, certainly people can do that individually. But then it's also, you know, just doing it as a church, you know, that, you know. Absolutely. Okay. So there's a lot of things that we can do in terms of learning about the work, you know, but part of that, they're leaving in September, so, you know, you've got a lot of time between now and then to talk to them. Ask them questions. You got things on your mind, wondering, you know, find out about some of this stuff. Just go to them and ask them. Say, hey, you know, what's the name of that city again? I know I've asked you 12 times already. I still don't know how to pronounce it, but what's the name of that city again that you're going to? Talk to them about it, see, and find out. We'll be putting more information out as, you know, we're going along here, but, you know, go to them and talk to them, see, do that, all right? Okay, now, last few minutes that we've got, Kelly's trying to get ahead of my lesson here, but that's all right. The last question on here, what can I do? And the answer to that is go, okay? And the statement on here, it may be that some of us could be tapped on the shoulder and encouraged to prepare and go as a missionary to another country. Again, we go back and we look at Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 13 when the Holy Spirit, you know, said, you know, set these men out apart and, you know, sent them off in this missionary work. So, you know, thinking about that, and it's not a matter, you know, that all of us can, you know, pack up and go to China. That's not realistic. Okay, but we've already discussed, depending on, you know, how these things work out with them and how long they're going to be there and so forth, that that at some point along the line here with this, that we want somebody to go over there and be face to face and bring some encouragement and check on the work and all that stuff. And so that's something that we're looking at to do. But as we look at this, here's a question that they have on here. Have you ever considered going to another country? We're not talking about vacation here, okay? We talked about that last week. But perhaps for a lifetime, to go and do lifetime mission work for several years or even for a few weeks. Anybody ever thought about that? Christine, you're over there shaking your head. Where do you want to go?
Anywhere. That's our plans for retirement.
Okay. All right. Again, different people have different situations. And, I thoroughly enjoy going to different places that I've been able to go. But I've not been in a situation where I go and stay for a long period of time. I'm going, 2 weeks at a time is the longest that I've been anywhere. So you make several trips that way, to places or what have you. But it's still an important part of the work. So this is an aspect of just encouraging all of you to be thinking about possibilities of those things. We've got, I think most everybody in here probably knows Carol and Eddie Hendricks and the work that they do. Their work that they're doing right now is really being support and encouragement to foreign missionaries. They travel all over the world to go and visit with missionaries that are, in country doing work, and they focus their attention in trying to, encourage them and uplift them and provide support for them and so forth. There's a lot of different ways that you can be involved in actually going somewhere and doing mission work. And I work in Ukraine, over the years, there's been a lot of different people that have gone at least one time over to Ukraine and made a trip over there and become involved in that to that degree. And some of them only gone one time and others have gone, several times, and so forth. But it's just the idea that, you have an opportunity to be able to go somewhere like that and be able to bring support to the brethren there and to the missionaries and all. And it's a great, great thing. I think one of the best trips that I ever made over to Ukraine, as you told me, was with Katie, and she went with me one time. And it was, what, you went twice? I've been so many times I don't remember who all has gone with me. I do remember that we went at least once. But, a big aspect of that, in terms of being able to go like that is, I promise you, you go to a foreign country like that and you experience a different culture and kind of immerse yourself into what's going on, it will change your life. It will change it dramatically. You just don't look at things the same as you did before. The first missionary trip I ever went on was down to Panama. To a little village called Union Santana. And it's in the, it's a very extremely remote village in the rainforest. And to give you an idea of how remote it is, there are two ways to get to it. One is by water, crossing the Pacific Ocean, along the coastline in the Pacific Ocean, and they used little boats to do that. I said, no, I'm not going that way. I'm going at a time when it's not the rainy season so that I can go by land. The land route is to go down out of Panama City, down the Panamanian Highway, to the point where you get to a little dirt road that is literally a logging road. The village is located 25 miles from the Panamanian Highway in the rainforest. It took us over 3 hours to get there, to give you an idea of how remote it is. But the neat thing is that there are some really great people back there in that little village. And the experience that I had in that first missionary trip was just something that I'll never forget. It really opened my eyes to a lot of things. And that's just something that you just don't ever forget. And of course, going to Ukraine has been just a wonderful experience. And again, things that you experience and learn and see, and the people you meet, and things like that. They have a way of changing your outlook in life. Let me get Colonel and then Peggy over here.
One of the things that's great about America is we have so many different cultures coming here. And if you would like to go to China, but you just have too many fears about it, or too many concerns about traveling, mm-hmm. One of the neat things you can do is you can go to a Chinese congregation in America. It won't replace the experience of going to China, but you will get the experience of being in the church where the culture is formed. And you will hear the service in a different language. And you will be able to interact with Christians who came from China, and they can communicate and tell you what their experience was like, and how some missionary introduced the gospel to them.
Absolutely.
It's not the exact same experience, but it's better than nothing if you really don't want to travel.
It doesn't cost as much either, does it?
Uh-huh.
All right, Peggy, finish this up. We're out of time here.
I was just going to share, Chris went when he was 16. He was back in Mondo.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a life changing. He didn't take care of part of the day when he got to there, but he had his daddy's through the forest, and he had a barrel. I think they have a hole come through that they took their dad with it. He saw the children, and the average age of the mother was 30 years old, they died. And he worked with the children in Washington. It was, he cried and wept when he left those children and those people. It was a life-changing thing for him at 16.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's there's no way it cannot do that, you know. When I was there in Union Santana, this is a village that only has electricity for about 4 hours a day. The government provides a generator that they can use for 4 hours a day. The delicacy, they actually, believe it or not, some of the kids went out into the jungle and killed some iguanas so that they could provide us a really nice meal. And so we had iguana and beans and rice. But you know, it's some of those things where, you know, I'm a picky eater, right, Katie? I'm a real picky eater, and, you know, eating iguana was just not something that I had on my list of, you know, my bucket list of things I really want to do in life. But then you learn and you realize, you know what, these folks have sacrificed to provide that. And so there's no way that I can say, no, thank you, I don't want any of that. You just go, thank you, because you realize what they've, done, something special to them, that they provide. And so it changes your outlook on a lot of things, you know. I don't go to restaurants regularly and order iguana at all, but it does change the way you look at life. It really does. Okay, we're out of time.